Joining us now to analyze today's headlines is Robert Jensen, sitting in for Chenjerai Kumanyika. He is an author and a professor of journalism at the University of Texas at Austin. Hi, Bob.
Hello, Sonali.
President Obama has announced a major change in the way the government will deal with U.S. citizens who are captured by terrorist organizations abroad. After intense criticism from the family of those executed by groups like the Islamic State, Mr. Obama admitted that government policy has been detrimental to the well-being of hostages and their families. He said, quote, "There have been times where our government, regardless of good intentions, has let them down. I promised them that we can do better." Leaving in place the long-standing policy of never paying ransoms to kidnappers, the government will now not prevent families from trying to pay them. They will also allow communication between the families and hostage takers. The president was accompanied by the families of Kayla Mueller, Peter Kasich, and Stephen J. Sotloff when he made the announcement yesterday. Some European governments have ended up paying ransoms to ISIS in exchange for hostage lives. Well, Bob, this is a tough issue because we shouldn't fuel terrorist groups with U.S. tax dollars, of course. But isn't the bigger picture that is often missed in Washington, D.C., that U.S. foreign policy is what really fuels the anger of ISIS and other extremist groups?
That's always the appropriate response, I think. You know, there are problems, short-term problems, that really don't have good solutions, and this is a great example of it. If you pay ransoms, of course, you encourage more kidnapping and you fuel that terrorism. The real question is, why is the U.S. so hated in the Middle East? And the answer can't come in the short term. It's got to be looking back over 4 or 5 decades of really irresponsible policies and a commitment to changing that policy. So people say, well, that's all, you know, kind of abstract and theoretical, but it's very concrete. Statements by the U.S. government that it's going to radically change its policy in the Middle East would go a long way to undermining the support that does exist for these kinds of groups like ISIS. And I think that's where our focus should be.
And speaking of terrorists, just a week after the brutal massacre of 9 African Americans at Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston, a new report was released on right-wing terrorism in the United States. New America Media issued the report entitled Homegrown Extremism, 2001 to 2015, and found that right-wing ideologues killed twice as many people within U.S. borders as those motivated by Islamic extremism. One Muslim spokesperson told the New York Times, quote, "With non-Muslims, the media bends over backwards to identify some psychological traits that may have pushed them over the edge. Whereas if it is a Muslim, the assumption is that they must have done it because of their religion." The report's authors used the commonly accepted definition of terrorism as an act of political violence against a civilian target by someone other than a state. And the report came on the same day that the Boston Marathon bomber Dzhokhar Tsarnaev was formally sentenced to death for his actions, which were considered terrorist. Last week's massacre by white racist Dylan Roof was officially deemed by the government to not be a terrorist attack. Bob, how important is this report by New America Media?
Well, for those people who care about the facts, it's very important. But, you know, here we're talking about rhetoric. So let's go back to a few key points. First of all, notice the definition excludes state terrorism. So the use of violence by states, including our own, to achieve a political end is sort of pushed off the table. And that's a serious error. But in the context of this, the terms extremist and terrorist can mean different things to different people. I've often been accused of being very extreme, for instance, in my hatred of U.S. foreign policy in the Middle East or corporate capitalism. And in some sense, yes, I am extreme. But in the context of contemporary American political discourse, I don't think terrorist is ever going to shift to include the kind of right-wing violence you're talking about. So maybe getting rid of the term in this context is the best we can hope for. But it does focus our attention on the really violent nature of these kind of groups. And living in Texas, I'm very aware of it. It's all around me.
Right. Finally, a major lawsuit on climate change in the Netherlands may be a game changer for the fate of the planet. More than 800 Dutch citizens successfully sued their government for failing to protect their human rights by contributing to greenhouse gas emissions. A court in The Hague has ordered the Dutch government to cut emissions by a whopping 25% in only 5 years. The victory is major, not in terms of its actual impact, but in how it could inspire similar legal actions in other nations. Meanwhile, here in the U.S., the oil giant ExxonMobil has been forced to temporarily shut down operations at 3 of its offshore oil rigs after Santa Barbara County in California refused to issue an emergency trucking permit. ExxonMobil applied for the permit after a major oil pipeline carrying crude oil burst near the beach, covering sand and water with fuel. The spill killed hundreds of marine birds and animals. Bob, what do you make of the climate victory in the Netherlands?
Well, I think anytime climate change is in a headline, that's a good thing. So all of these fronts, whether it's activism in the street or lobbying existing legislative and executive branches or the judicial branch weighing in, it's all to the good. But we have to remember that the law is not going to be, I think, the vehicle for really changing policy on climate. And in some sense, the policy on climate that comes out of government isn't going to change without a real shift in underlying economics. And that brings us back to the kind of high energy lifestyle of the affluent first world. And that's where we have to continue to focus. So yes, let's keep on all these fronts, but let's not be, I think, lulled into a sense of security by actions of judges. That's not going to change the underlying reality.
Bob Jensen, I want to thank you, as always, for joining us today.
Thanks, Sonali.
Robert Jensen, sitting in for Chenjerai Kumanyika, is an author and a professor of journalism at the University of Texas at Austin. This is Uprising. We'll be right back after this break.